flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Well, what do you know? A little boom bomb. If Boomer is right about this one, and often he is, not always, you know, but Boom's not tweeting that about Pete Alonso unless he's got some real serious intel. This is an interesting one. Wow. All right, so let's assume that Boomer is right. All right, let's assume that he's right, and this happens today. Wow. That's the last thing I thought I was going to hear driving in today. You know, start easing into the football a little bit more. Maybe a little mixed Lakers over the weekend. So here's what I find incredibly interesting about this. And I hope it happens. And I've been saying now for a couple days, figure it out. It's almost February. You know, the Mets had a massive splash with Juan Soto. They retained Manaea. You have all this energy from last season. You know, you spruce up the bullpen a little bit here. Come on, like it just wouldn't fit. And even you know where I stand on Pete as an imperfect player, but sometimes imperfect players are still perfect for certain situations, and it applies here. He's not getting 5 or 6 years. He's never getting that. It's going to be a short deal, all right? There's going to be some ego swallowed, and there's going to probably be some concessions from the Mets a little bit, and a little bit from Boris and Pete as well. But the thing that I find most interesting about this, it is one of the most fascinating looks at the psychology of sports fans. I have watched, and I'm not saying I've never done this either. I'm not calling you out, but boy, it's been a long, lengthy experiment. I have seen Met fans jump through hoops and twist themselves up in knots. Oh, we need Pete. Ah, oh, Pete can't play. Oh, he does hit home runs. Oh, Pete's our version of Aaron Judge. Ah, you know, first base, it's a different market these days. He's 30 years old. He's a righty. We can't bring him back. Oh, my God. He's going to be the Mets' all-time home run hitter. How do we let him go? Like, it's been, I mean, you guys are you baseball fans or are you gymnasts? I'm not really sure, because the fluctuations in your positions on Pete have been amazing. And you go back, I'd say, right around on this show, most specifically, when a lot of the Alonso conversation started, you know, there was still some crumbs, some early remnants of he's our Aaron Judge, as I said before, which by the way, I didn't kick back too hard on, obviously delineating between the two athletes and their skill sets, but I understood loosely translated what you guys meant by that, you know. Drafted by the Mets, you know, prodigious power. He's going to obliterate the record book, and you want to keep him. Understood. And then, you know, he had a down season with the batting average a couple of years ago. And then he followed up last year with a very perplexing season. Home runs were down. Ribbies were down. Drops a pop-up in the postseason. And then he mashes a home run that nobody, even if you're not a Mets fan, is going to forget. Off now the Yankees closer, one of the best closers in baseball in a while, in Devin Williams, which now pumps life back into Pete Alonso's got to remain with the Mets. All right. So I get it. You vacillated a little bit here. I can't prove. It's more of a social experiment. I can't prove this. I truly can't. But let's just say the opposite occurred. Let's say that Boomer tweeted last night, and I've got some ominous news here, Mets fans, you know, I'm hearing or I'm feeling that Pete Alonso, today is the day that Pete Alonso signs with Toronto. All right? And we'd get to that. We'd probably still lead with it, right? And I bet you 90% of the calls that we took would be about what he can't do well and why it's the right move and why the Met fans scorned would kind of gravitate to the deficiencies that Pete has as a baseball player. We all know what they are. We don't need to just always run through them. We know what they are, right? And, you know, you would pick at the scab of Pete Alonso. And I don't know if you really truly believe that. I think from a baseball perspective, I think your baseball sensibilities tell you, and you know this because you're great, smart baseball fans, you've always known what I've always said about Pete. You resisted it. I don't know, maybe because I grew up a Yankee fan. I don't know. Maybe because he's your guy, which I get and which I respect. But that would be the alternate universe to what Boomer presented this morning. I promise you that 70, 80, 85, 90% of you that have kind of convinced yourself and have projected almost this anti-Pete sentiment the last couple of weeks because you think that he's gone. Not that you necessarily want him gone, but because you have been conditioned to think that the Mets have moved on from Pete. I promise you, when that John Heyman, Buster Olney, whoever fires up that tweet, Pete Alonso, 3 years, 2 years, opt out, whatever, back in Queens, I bet it's back to 85, 90%. You wanted Pete to stay. You needed Pete to stay. You have tried. And this is the interesting thing about being a fan. And I truly, even though I've been in this business for a long time, I have never lost this aspect. And I won't. But when I do, then I will retire. Because then what fueled me to get here and what I take most pride in and what I love most about sports, if that erodes, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste your time. I understand the sentiment. I understand the hurt. I understand the back and forth. I do. Because he is a complex player at a complex point in his career. But let's be honest. Strip away the copium. Strip away the other stuff that you put up. You all want Pete back with the Mets. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal here on The Fan. Sal is in the last stages of healing up. I know he's listening, so he's doing better. And we're going to have Sal back on Monday, which is great. All right, let's get to you guys here. Again, I don't want to take it as gospel because Boomer, like all of us, has gotten things wrong before. The almighty Boomer. He's not perfect. Close to it. You know I love me some Boomer. But man, oh man, this is shaping up to be quite the interesting day in Mets land. And I'm driving it, I'm listening, and those two guys going off the rails. You know, Boomer's presenting this, and Gio's like, yeah, it's a news dump day. And Boomer's like, what the hell does it matter? Why are you always going to the negative here? I was actually laughing with those guys this morning. But at the end of the day, man, I think you put up these walls. We all do it with certain things, these protective measures, these boundaries to get a little distance from what we don't want to have happen. Just imagine being in Queens with Juan Soto and Pete Alonso at the home opener wearing a Blue Jays jersey. It doesn't have to come to that. It never did. And apparently, it's not. All right, let's get to the phones. What do you guys think? BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Zach is in Massapequa. Well, what's going on, Big Zach? How are you? Let's get us going. First up.
Thank you for the call. I'm glad to be the first. I would love to just tell you now, I absolutely love the show. I think you're unbelievable. I really do. The type of host you are, I mean, it's unbelievable. And I truly hope, you know, you keep going and do everything you do. I just hope nothing but success for you.
That's really nice, man. Thank you very much, Zach. I appreciate that, buddy.
Absolutely. So let me get to my Mets point.
Yeah.
So I'll be an honest Mets fan here. I would be absolutely devastated if Pete Alonso is not a Met. I completely understand that, you know, he's got deficiencies. He can't run. He's an average fielder. He's only, you know, getting worse with time because of age, his body type. I get it. But as a pure emotional standpoint, the Mets aren't the Mets to me without Pete Alonso on, you know, our opening day roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the amount of things that he does for this team positively, to me, completely outweighs all of the negative. Not to mention, you know, everyone likes to make fun of this part. You know, he's a homegrown guy. The Mets don't have many of them that stick around, you know, do end up doing great things. This guy can end up being one of, you know, if not the best power hitter the Mets has ever had, you know, one of them. You know, maybe he makes the Hall of Fame. There's really no telling with the trajectory that his career could go. Obviously, a lot of people are saying it might, you know, get worse or whatnot. But at the end of the day, we don't know that. You don't know that. I don't know that. So why not take a chance on, not even a chance. This guy's proven that he's, you know, deserved the money. Mets fans need to stop with this copium, like you were saying, highlighting all of the negatives and just accept the fact that, you know, deep down, we do truly want him.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, that's a great call, Zach, and thanks for the kind words. I appreciate you getting us going here. Listen, I'm not saying that Pete's going to be a career Met. I don't think he will be. This is not going to suddenly be a change of heart where, wow, Alonso just signed an 8-year deal. No. And I, you know, if this happens and when this happens, I do believe it will. And by the way, even before Boomer's tweet, you know, last couple of days on the air, I've been saying, I don't rule it out, you know, because of what Steve Cohen said. Matter of fact, I was imploring Pete to do, I just said this yesterday. I saw the video of, I forget the name of the podcast, whatever it was with Eric Cosmer. And they were telling the story. Bernie was on with them, Bernie Williams. And back in 98, when Bernie Williams almost left the Yankees, he picked up the phone and he called George Steinbrenner. And I was just saying this yesterday, just like when Hal picked up the phone and called Aaron Judge from Italy. Hey, there's certain things you just got to get done. And whether it's Pete kind of reestablishing maybe some more realistic parameters, maybe it's Boris, or maybe it's Pete telling Boris, hey, cut the nonsense, dude. I mean, I understand you had a mission here. That mission's failing. You know, stop digging in so deep on the opt-outs, and if I opt out, they pay me. Just get me something, save some face, and keep it going here. I want to be a Met. Now, I'll tell you, the only thing, it's very different, but I wanted to give you as a point of reference, the only thing that I can really myself even remotely, it's not even really the same ballpark because he retired, but that's Mattingly. And for me, which was Mattingly, and many of you, that's Pete. You know, Pete's your guy, depending upon your age. Like, Mattingly was my guy, all right? And after the 95 season, when they lost to Seattle 5 games to the Kingdons, when Griffey scored from first on the double by Martinez, the play at the plate, I knew that was the end. I knew it. I was in college. I actually had tears in my eyes because I knew he was going to retire. Like, it crushed me. The difference, though, is that Donnie retired. So it's not like I resented Tino or didn't enjoy the 96 championship. I don't know how would I have felt if Mattingly went to the Cardinals or Mattingly was a free agent and the Yankees just, you know, whether it's $5, $10, $12 million, an opt-out, not that they really did that back then, but you know what I mean, some little contractual trigger kept my guy from staying. Like, we're not talking about half a decade of a gap between what the Mets are willing to offer and Toronto. I mean, if that's the case, pragmatically, every Met fan could say, all right, he's not worth that. And he's not. But for a couple of bucks, you always had to find a way to get this done. And the incomplete nature of the Mets lineup on opening day without Pete and no other moves this offseason, because I don't think you're getting Vlad before the season. I don't. Maybe get him in free agency, but Santander, gone. All the other first basemen, gone. All five of them, gone. So you telling me that even though you kind of said this to protect yourself, which I get, do you really mean what you said? You didn't. and you don't. You need him, and he needs you. All right, Bobby and Lindenhurst, what's going on, Bob? How are you today?
LBT, love you, man. Listen, you got to stop talking for Met fans. You did the same exact thing with Soto, man. You guys thought he was a baseball god, and then when he left, oh, he's not a great right fielder. He can't throw. He can't run. What? I mean, stop. Come on, you can't do that to us, man. We all want Pete back. But obviously, we're going to be pissed and we're going to say stuff when he leaves. If he leaves, we're going to be upset. But we all want him on the team.
But Bobby, hold on. Forget about Soto. Soto's yours. And by the way, and it's fine. It's not a big deal. But I did talk about his defensive deficiencies when the Yankees got him for the Padres. But that's not the point.
Not really.
No. You haven't. But you haven't heard every show, Bob. So it's all good. Soto's yours and he's going to be a beast. He's amazing. With Pete, right? You're misrepresenting what Met fans have been saying the last month, because the majority of Met fans have been voicing that they are okay. Well, I'm done with Pete. Pete wasn't that good anyway. And I think it's a coping mechanism, which I understand.
I think people were more upset with the length of how long this was taking, and they were trying to convince themselves, all right, we're good. He's not coming back. We got to go move on. They weren't like, we want him. Believe me.
Well,
Bobby,
I know that you want him, but I think that all Met fans do. I'm not going to fight you on something we agree, or most Met fans. I don't want to fight you on something that I actually agree with you on. What I'm saying is, it's not even a big deal at this point, dude. I'm just saying I think that what was projected by Met fans is going to be different than what's projected when we find out that it's a done deal. If it's a done deal. I'm telling you.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's all, man.
I would say the majority wants Pete back, and we'll be happy, you know, and we'll be pissed if he goes. That's it. Bottom line.
I got you. All right, man. So you think it's done today? Do you agree? Do you believe the almighty Boomer?
I do. And I've already said, I texted my son. I said, listen, I think we're going to get him today. We're signing him today. I didn't tell him it was Boomer. I didn't tell him it was Boomer. I said it was me.
Well, Bobby, that's that. How about a little credit here, dude? Come on, would you cheat? Would you? Would you plagiarize in college? At least give your son the ethics. Tell him Boomer got it. I mean, where's the moral compass, dude? I know we all want to look like heroes to our children, but this is Boomer's story, not Bobby and Lindenhurst. Bobby and Lindenhurst didn't do anything yet. All right, let me get Freddie and Whitestone. Fred, what's happening? BT and Sal, how are you?
BT, what's happening, buddy?
Hello, Frederick.
I tell you, you know what? How about who is our first baseman if Pete doesn't sign?
Vientos.
I don't want to hear this Mark Vientos being moved to first. No one ever brings that point up. How about we leave the kid at third base? That kid looks like he's going to be a stud for many years.
Well,
I don't want this from the first. Have Beatty play first.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the first base.
Fred, you got to understand, and I think that you do, although it seems like you took the bait a little bit. The Mets played this perfectly. They couldn't play it better. Nobody was knocking down Pete's door. You know, hey, you float a few things. All right, we told Vientos, get that first baseman, Smith. Start taking ground balls. He's going to be playing first. You talk up Beatty again a little bit. And what happens? Pete gets a little antsy. Pete gets a little restless. Boris has to react to Pete's antsiness. And guess what? As we get closer to February, which we are, and there's no more offers for Pete from other teams, well, now Pete's going to adjust what he's willing to do for the Mets. That's what's happening.
Me, BT, I hope to God you're right. I hope Boom is right. Is he the greatest first baseman ever? No, obviously, you know, baseball. But I want Pete. I think the lineup looks a lot sweeter with him in that lineup. You know, and I know he's no all-star first baseman. I'm not saying that.
Uh-huh.
I never say that, but I want him back. I definitely want him back.
I get it. I understand there, Freddie. I appreciate that. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on the Fan Brand. It's here to Sal Licata Show inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Interesting day. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So if this goes down, this would be very interesting. I remember years ago when me and Teak were down the hole doing the national show, bored out of our minds. I'm just kidding. And Tiki broke the story, actually broke the story, beat everybody to it, that Cohen was going to buy the Mets. Be funny if Boomer nails the story about Pete Alonso re-upping with the Mets, which has been, you know, outside of the Soto pursuit and the actual purchase of the Mets from Cohen. It's been one of the three biggest stories with the Mets in the last 5 years. And it seems like none of the baseball guys are the ones breaking this. It's the ex-football players. That's right. We got everybody here at the Fan. We don't need those guys. Yeah. This just, it's just a very weird time in baseball. And for the Mets, listen, if he's 35 and if he's on his last legs, Pete, it's a lot more justifiable. He's a very imperfect player, as I've chronicled many times. But you don't think he's going to get a ton of fastballs with Juan Soto on base 43% of the time? And if Lindor in the second half, and I don't know if he's going to do that, but if he does, and Vientos for a full year, see, I mean, we could do this later, but I would go Lindor 1. I would go Lindor 1. I would go Vientos 2. I would go Soto 3, and then I would go Pete 4. But, but if you do that, think about what Pete could actually put up there. So it just seems like it's going to be a very, very good day, a rewarding day, and a fun day. All right, we'll get back to these calls. BT and Sal here on the Fan.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Friday. Who wants to go to Vegas? I do. The Slam Dunk in Vegas is live, and you can win your way to Sin City during the tournament here. All you have to do to win, it's simple. Download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to the Fan each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry and your chance to win. Travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, plus $5,000 each to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the College Basketball Championships. That's a chance to win 20 grand at a trip to Vegas for the boys or the girls, whatever it is. Maybe two of each, whatever. Download the free Odyssey app and listen. All right, so this could be a very, very fun day here. The Boomer tweet, obviously, he is not a troll. Boomer's not just going to put this out there to mess around with Met fans. He is a Met fan himself. He has been on the record very firmly. He always wanted Pete to return. You know, for the purposes of my opinions here, I always wanted Pete to return for you, but I always attacked it with, you know, no emotion because I'm not a Mets fan. But I never lost sight of what he means to you. I always tried to incorporate that. Now, what he means to you is more meaningful than what I think he means to you, clearly. But the bottom line is this. Let's also say this. Let's say that Boomer nails it, and at some point today, Pete Alonso deal's done. Mets can't be done. Like, the Mets can't be done. This isn't like, all right, well, we got Soto. All right, we retain Manaea. Pete's back 2 years, 3 years, whatever. Let's go beat the Dodgers. No. At that point, I'm still not even sure the Mets are the I don't think they're the best team in the NL East at that point. Maybe they jump the Phillies. I still think they've got work to do. And I almost don't even want to take away the enthusiasm by getting too much into what else they have to do. But I'll tell you what, you better be on the phone with San Diego, because if you're not, somebody else is. Could be the, not going to be the Dodgers at this point, but it could be the Giants, could be the Brewers, could be the Phillies, could be the Braves. Braves lost a pitcher and Freed. They don't think they want Dylan Cease or Michael King. So make sure you don't let them get those guys first. They're trading people. So, I mean, this could turn into a wild week for the Mets, where you get Pete back and Cease, and it would of the options. And I'll get more into this later, but I mean, of the options, I think that I prefer King for the Mets. I think they'd be more inclined to go after Cease. I'll tell you why later. But Met fans, it's the first good news, even though there was a little thawing the other day with Cohen, with the reconnection, if you will, with Pete and Cohen. But now it seems like it's finally moving in a direction where, at this point, I'd be surprised if he's not back with the Mets. Let me get Joey in Lodi. Joe, BT and Sal, what's happening?
Hey, Joe. Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan.
All right, Joe. So, thank you.
All right. So, listen, I'm a diehard Met fan, born and raised in the Bronx. Go figure, but I'm a diehard Met fan. Yep. I wanted Pete back the entire time. Now, I think if he keeps putting his numbers up, he's looking at 500 home runs maybe as in a Met career. If they sign him for, say, another 4 years, I could see him. He's got 230 maybe now.
He's not getting – I don't know. He's not – you know what? I don't even want to be that guy. I've done the math. I don't think he's getting 500.
We need him for insurance
yes,
with Soto.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, forget about the 500.
Hold on,
Joe, hold on. Let me start over with you, buddy. I don't mean to – hold on. Forget about the 500 home runs. That's like an ancillary thing down the road. All right, let's retire Pete's number, 480, yeah. 502. Forget about the home runs. How about just putting a bat behind Soto to win in 2025?
Sandwich him right in between Vientos sandwich Soto in between Vientos and Alonso. And that's a formidable lineup, too. Everyone's sleeping on Nimmo, too. I think Nimmo's going to have another All-Star year this year.
Yeah, I mean, I like Nimmo, and I certainly respect him. I think he's an above-average player. I'm not trying to downgrade him. You know, I look at Nimmo as, and I've said this before, like for an elite team, like a year-to-year World Series kind of a lineup. I see him more as like a six-hitter myself, 6-7 on a loaded team. You know, but he's good. Let me get Justin in Queens. Justin, what's happening?
BT, you're the man. For years, you've been the man. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Everything you do, you keep me going every day.
I appreciate that.
Listen, I think you hit this thing on the head. I'm in a group chat with like 30 Met fans, and the literal hours I've spent arguing the same point about how we need Pete, about how it doesn't matter that he's 30, because all the other guys, oh, he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
He's regressed. He's slow. I'm like, where are you getting 34 home runs and 88 RBIs on the market right now?
In a down year, by the way.
And that was my point.
Yeah.
That's a bad year. First of all, we need him for the protection, right? We need him because he's one of ours. You can't discount that. He's one of ours. We need him to be that guy, right, that we see through maybe to the end. But more than that, we also need Pete Alonso because Pete Alonso has done it in New York. And people discount that. You're talking about Vladdy? Of course I would want Vladdy, 25 years old, whatever he is. We don't know that he can produce in New York. We've seen it with Lindor. We've seen it with Beltran. We've seen it with all these. It takes time to learn how to do it here. Pete's done it here. So that in itself deserves a contract because we know that he's going to produce. And with the money that Steve has already spent, my argument was you see the Dodgers making move after move after move. We got to keep up with that. I don't care about Stearns. You know, oh, he's able to build a team with pennies and this and that. That's fine. But now it's a different ballgame because we were two games away from the World Series, and the Dodgers keep making moves. We have to keep up with that. And the one way you do that is by keeping your own.
Well, I agree with a lot of the things you said there, Justin. The only thing that I would push back on, and thanks for the call, buddy. Have a great weekend. Really appreciate the kind words, too. I think when you say, you know, we got to keep up with the Dodgers, and by the way, this applies to the Yankees as well, any team, I think that that's the wrong fundamental way of looking at it. I think what you've got to do is you've got to adhere to the plan that you built out that you envision providing sustained success. I think when you start looking at it, like, because if you want to, quote unquote, keep up with the Dodgers, well, then the Yanks and the Mets both would have been going after Alex Bregman 7 years, 160, 170, and I think all of us kind of think that's the wrong move. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, I prefer, you know, Bregman fielding, you know, picking everything at third base over DJ LeMahieu. Oh, yeah, myself, sure. But I know the power is going to drop, and it's a different dimension from Yankee Stadium to what he's accustomed to in Houston. So I don't think long-term it's a good play. I think it's going to saddle him down the road, which would then really prohibit what they could do down the road. Same with the Mets. So obviously, because we're talking about the Mets, I think that I know why people say it, because when you see the Dodgers doing just, my God, they just bombard us move after move after move after move after move. were like bloodied in the corner, like, oh my God, somebody throw the towel. I mean, throw the towel or get me some help here, you know, double teaming this guy, because I'm not beating him one-on-one. Well, no matter what the Mets do this offseason, even before today, and even before all these other guys signed, like even if the Mets would have signed Alonso, Santander, and trade for Dylan Cease, on paper, you're still not the Dodgers. So that's the wrong way to look at it. Stick to your plan, and you gotta trust Stearns' plan. You have to, you know? Listen, what's made this complex here, guys, is that there's 2 years in a row where Pete's had some downward slippage, some confounding signs of statistical, you know, erosion. You know, like in 2023, the average went down. In 2024, the power went down. You know, that's not a good trend as you approach your 30, you know, as you get to prepare to turn 30, and you're a righty first baseman who can't move incredibly well. You know, so that's always been the problem there. You know, if he was a middle infielder who can move, or a right fielder with a higher average and thump like Soto, it's a different profile negotiation, but it's just very unique. Paul's in Newark. What's happening? BT and Sal. Paul, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I've been pushing for Alonso for a long time, so I'd be a happy camper. I want to talk about the lineup, if I could.
Yeah.
The Mets have had garbage. They've had a hole at the bottom of their lineup for a long time.
Yep.
Well, I think you need two. I know you want Soto number two because you want to get as many at-bats as you could.
No, I don't.
But I think you need two guys. I think you need two guys in front of Soto, Lindor and Nimmo. People don't like Nimmo there. He 329 on-base percentage, but before that, 363, 401. He gets on base, and if you get two guys on base, they're going to have to pitch more to Soto. They can't pitch around them. So you got Lindor, Nimmo, Soto, Alonso, and Vientos. You got a top five that's strong. And the last thing, the Mets haven't had a DH for years.
Yeah, I know.
They need a good DH in their lineup. They had, you know, Martinez. He was nothing. They had Bubble Boy. I called him Vogelback. And the other right-handed guy, yeah. That was nothing. They need a DH, too, to help the line. But 1-5, they're solid.
I think they need another pitcher, too. But, yeah, and those are things that they could still solve moving forward. Thanks for the call. I would not put Nimmo number two. I would put Vientos number two. Yeah, I hinted at this before. To me, and I just, you know, this is where we overthink stuff, and it's frustrating. Like, so we have Aaron Boone in the other day, me and Sal. By the way, BT and Sal, 2, Yankee skipper, 0, with the baseball card game. And just to show that I'm not a sore loser, I did wind up hooking Skip up with those Johnny's tickets. He is going to watch St. John's Marquette Tuesday at the Garden. So Aaron Boone is jumping into the Johnny's Express as well. It's going to be fun. But the baseball cards we were doing was from the 80s, right? And if you're old enough and you watch baseball in the 80s, go back to the 80s, close your eyes, right, and say, okay, what is Juan Soto profile as? Let me see. Oh, I don't know. Ah, he's the perfect three hitter. He hits for power, hits for average, always on base, you know, preferably a lefty. Not that you can't have a righty who's a three hitter, but back in the day, it seemed like a lot of the three hitters were lefties. All right, so hit him third. Stop overthinking this. And then go back to the 80s again. I know it's not the 80s. Close your eyes. Where does Pete Alonso profile? Let me see. He's not that quick. He's a righty. He's got massive power, light tower power. I don't know. Fourth. So, like, why are we trying to reinvent the wheel? If I'm the Mets, and I am not, and you know this about me, because you listen to the show, and I try not to bombard you with numbers. Maybe I'll do it a little more on social media, because nobody wants to get hit with numbers on the radio. It's boring, and it's hard to process. But I love analytics. I incorporate it into my opinions. I follow them. I trust them. Now, I don't live by them because I trust my eyes more, but I don't dump on analytics. Screw that stuff for a second. Can you tell me that a better 1-4, that you can construct a better 1-4 for the Mets than Lindor 1, Vientos 2, Soto 3, Pete 4? Can somebody tell me how it's better with Nimmo 2? It's not. And let me tell you why. First of all, you got obviously Lindor, you got speed, he's a stud, he's a switch hitter. Boom. Then you have Vientos, who obviously is a righty and a young ascending star. And, oh, yeah, by the way, who's a higher average hitter than Nimmo, I think. And then right behind him, as massive protection, is Juan Soto, who's a lefty following the righty Vientos. And then after the lefty Soto is the masher, lower average, slow-footed, but masher righty hitter in Pete. Yeah, let's overthink this and let's put Soto too and let's get cute. No, Lindor, Vientos, Soto, Pete, period. That's it. That's the lineup. And figure out 5 through 9 later. 888-808-1019. There it is. Should be the manager. Tom Bendy's actually really good. Now, Hoff, by the way. Hoff, what's going on, buddy? Are you excited, dude? You haven't said a word on the air today. Come on. Let's go. Your boy's coming back.
Am I excited about what?
Pete.
What about him? He's not here.
Can I ask you a question?
Hold on. No. You asked me if I was excited first. No, I'm not. He's not here. He's not signed yet, so I'm not excited.
He's in a grumpy mood today.
No.
I'm not going to call on you anymore today.
No, hold on. No. You asked me a question. You got to let me answer because...
You did. You said you're not excited.
Yeah, and okay. I want to explain why.
Go ahead.
Because it's not beneficial. There's a lot of rumors going on, but this has been going on for months, so I'm not going to believe it until it happens. I got to be honest. If it doesn't happen this weekend,
yeah,
it's never going to happen.
Are you... At least give me this. You probably won't. Seems like you're in that kind of mood today, Hoffy. Will you... Are you, I should say, at least a little more excited today than you were yesterday?
No. It's the same nonsense, BT. It's the same nonsense. Hey, guess what? You're going to get Pete Alonso and the Mets are going to make a deal.
Uh-huh.
Really? I've heard this story how many times this year?
You didn't hear from Boomba, though.
Yeah, well, guess what? Yeah. I've heard that Boomer's been wrong once in a while, too. So it happens.
I'm reporting it's the Admirals.
Well, okay.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get some strays at Boomer. Yeah, Boomer's not always right.
I'm not putting strays at Boomer.
Wait a second. Hold on a second now. Now, this is where I got a question you do. I just got to call you out. I'm looking at your Twitter account. And Boomer, 13 hours ago, it says, I'm feeling like Pete is a Met tomorrow with the clasped...
Yes.
Hands. You, like myself, a Catholic school product.
Yes.
So you love the emoji. And then you quote tweet him 13 hours ago. This was last night.
Yes, so maybe about 6 minutes after I saw his
okay.
ex account. Uh-huh. Yes.
And Hoffman tweets, let's all celebrate a Pete Alonso Friday signing together! Exclamation point.
Correct. But guess what?
What?
Now we're 13 hours later and it hasn't happened. And I have this feeling... It's not going to happen today.
Okay, so you'll at least grant me 13
weekend.
Hours ago
or
you were
ever.
Excited?
Of course.
All right, well, then at least give me that. Jeez.
No,
everybody's
I can't.
So grumpy around here.
Because
Geos,
it hasn't
it's
happened.
A news dump. You don't believe Boomer.
Yeah.
My goodness.
But am I wrong? It's not a news dump. It's a Friday. Hey, let's go. Let's get Pete. By the way, I also read that as soon as that happened, then John Heyman had a story about the Reds and Pete Alonso.
Well, that's all leverage for
exactly.
Boris. Come on. You know that nonsense, dude.
It's always leverage from everybody. I don't
He's
know.
He's going to play for the Reds. They're gonna have, Tony Perez going to play for the Reds before Pete plays for the Reds.
Hey, is Boris in Boomer's pocket?
Oh, dude, watch it, man.
Woo!
Be careful, buddy. All righty, 10:48 back on the fan. BT and Sal. Yeah, so a lot of Met fans are feeling it. My guy Hoff is not feeling it. He is waiting for the official word. He's not going to get sucked in. It just feels like it's going to happen. And it really never felt like it shouldn't happen. But you never know. I mean, you know, Toronto was a team that I was always aware of because they've been trying to give away money for years. And... You know, because there was just a dearth of options for Pete, maybe that was an opportunity. And it still could be. It's not done. I mean, Hoff is literally right about that. Till it's done, it's not done. But Toronto was so motivated to get some players there. Santander, obviously Scherzer now. Trying to get big money to Vlad Guerrero. Trying to get Ohtani a year ago. That I remember saying, like, well, geez, if the Mets are offering 370 or whatever the number was, something like that. And Toronto comes 5-1-10, something stupid, he's gone. So, like, I always left that door slightly ajar. But, you know, hopefully sensibility is going to win out, and hopefully you guys get the guy that you want, your boy Pete. Andrew's in Queens. What's up, Andrew?
What's up? How you doing, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, quickly before my Pete point, quickly on Steve Cohen. I know everyone's putting this on David Stern, but if Steve Cohen wants Pete Alonso, he'll get Pete Alonso. It's just like there's an episode in Billions, which is loosely based off of Steve Cohen.
Oh, I love Billions. Axe Capital.
Yes, yes.
Money.
There's that episode where it's early on where it's like it's something where he wants the naming rights to a building in a museum, and he can't get it. And then at the end of the day, he eventually gets the naming rights because he gets it at the price that he wants.
I remember. Yep.
That,
I remember.
So that's exactly what I keep thinking about with this Pete Alonso negotiation. So now quickly, on to Pete. Here's my thinking, and I'm playing devil's advocate here. What if this whole negotiation has pissed Pete Alonso off so much that it now opens a door for a team to come in and say, hey, Pete, we're going to give you 1 year with a one-year option. And if we're not in it come the deadline, we're going to trade you to a team that is in it.
Yeah.
And at that point, it gives Pete Alonso the incentive, A, to screw the Mets.
Uh-huh.
It gives Pete Alonso the incentive, hey, I'm going to be on a bigger stage now, postseason, all that stuff like that, where I can reestablish my value. And the reason why you do the one-year option is just in case Pete Alonso gets hurt, he can always come back and do it again next year. But I just wonder if this whole negotiation process is either pissing Pete Alonso off so much that he says, screw, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
Yeah, but hold on, Andrew. It's a good point, right? But I think it would have been a more plausible scenario a month or so ago. I really do.
Sure, but
because I've said that as well. I think that me and Sal have talked about this, everybody has, for months. And the one thing that I've said, and so was he, I'm like, hey, just watch it. Like, if the Mets keep undercutting him, everybody's got an ego. Like, eventually he might say, hey, you know, even if it's comparable money, I'm going to a state with different taxes, a better ballpark, hit 50 bombs, reestablish my worth. Like, don't take it for granted. I've always said that.
But that's the thing, and that's where I say, you know, and again, I'm a Yankee fan here, but I'm not a Mets hater, but I'm a Yankee fan. But I'm looking at a situation where, hey, say, for instance, he does go to the Reds, signs that 1 year with a one-year option. Reds are out of it come June.
Yep.
The Yankees and Paul Goldschmidt is a complete bust. Guess what? Yankees don't have a true first baseman. Who are the Yankees all of a sudden looking for at first base?
So Andrew, that kind of convolutes it a bit. And that just, listen, and I don't mind doing the whole Yankee-Met thing, but, like, specific to this, the Yankees have zero, like, there's nothing to talk about with the Yankees right now. This is about Pete and the Mets. Now, I know what you say, that I'm not coming down hard on you here, but first of all, Goldschmidt's not going to bomb. He's going to be better than Rizzo. I'm not saying he's going to be the MVP, Goldschmidt. But yes, do I think Goldschmidt's going to hit 260-something with 20-something home runs and 80-something ribbies and, you know, play a very, very functional, if not higher level first base? I do. Yeah, I do. He's going to be a rock star in the clubhouse. It'll be fine. Rizzo shot. And injured. And ironically, DJ LeMahieu's the last Yankee first baseman at a home run. So I know what you mean about, you know, Pete going somewhere else and, you know, putting up numbers and kind of a wink, wink. Hey, if we're out of it, we'll trade you somewhere. But, you know, you make it seem like the Mets aren't going to be in it. Like the Mets are supposed to be a playoff team, too. So why can't he just go back to the Mets, you know, instead of hitting 34 home runs and what do you have, 87, 88 RBIs? Thank you, Pete. Hoffman, not Alonso. Instead of doing that, you know, come back and have Juan Soto in front of you on base 42, 43, 44% of the time. Although that might take a little drop back without Aaron Judge behind him. But anyway, it'll still be very high because that's Soto. And go out and smash 47 home runs and hit 253 and have 126 RBIs. Now, the crazy thing about Pete, even if he did that, he's still going to probably be in the same situation next year. That's what further complicates this, because he's still going to be a first baseman, still going to be slow-footed, still going to be a righty, you know, and it's still going to be playing a position that's de-emphasized lately. But that's why I don't think, and Boris has to know this, I don't know what the attraction would be, even if he went to Cincinnati and just mashed in a bandbox. I don't really, that's not going to change the perception of Pete. Anybody who knows baseball knows what he is. And maybe more specifically, what he is not. Steve's in Queens. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, Brandon. How you doing?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good. So, it's a linchpin. He is a linchpin right now, Pete Alonso. I think everyone's got this expectation that Mark Vientos is just going to put up what he did last year. He's done it for 1 year. You know, the level of consistency there, is not there. So I think we need to take a step back in terms of what we expect Mark Vientos to bring this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think another part is, you know, Francisco Alvarez was 2 years ago a big-time prospect and someone who delivered, you know, almost 30 home runs in a full season.
Uh-huh.
You know, last year injuries and whatnot. He needs to be considered in this lineup 1 through 6. He has to be there. And he has to produce like we saw him produce 2 years ago and like we expect him to produce. He is the linchpin, but in the aggregate, Alvarez is just as important as Pita.
I'm just curious, Steve, why you assume that Vientos is going to go the other way. Why can't he get better?
I think, Brandon, we've seen folks clearly get better.
Yeah.
But how many times have we seen one year wonder? There's a book out on him now.
Mm-hmm.
And does the league know him a little bit better now than he did a year ago? Probably.
Yeah, well, does he know the league a little bit better than he did a year ago? Probably.
2 years ago, we were looking to get rid of him for a bag of balls, Brandon.
But hold on. But 2 years ago, Stearns wasn't here, and that doesn't mean that was right.
Absolutely. And he'll have Lindor.
It's okay. Go ahead. No, you're good. Go ahead, man. We're having a conversation. Go ahead.
And he has obviously protection, right? Lindor in front of him, presumably. Soto behind him.
Yep.
So he's going to have guys that are going to be on base. That would give him opportunity.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know if we can automatically assume that he is what he was last year. I hope he is.
I
hope he brings the same thing.
Understood.
I saw Brett Beatty do this for a half a year.
I got you, Steve. No, listen, man, I really do get it. And the only thing that I don't feel, this with Vientos, not that I can't be wrong, and you use the term one-year wonder. Yeah, there's a lot of one-year wonders who pop up. You know, Bob Hamlin, I don't know why that name's coming to my mind, but he won the Rookie of the Year for the Royals back in the day, somewhere in the 90s, whatever it was. It was a stiff. Like, he just didn't do anything after that, right? Chris Sabo was a good player who popped early for the Reds back in the day, and he just fizzled out. It happens, all right? It definitely happens. Hey, Kevin Moss for the Yankees. I get it, right? But the difference between one-year wonders and what I think is going to be the difference between Vientos is that how many of those one-year wonders did what he did in October when the pitching is supreme and the pressure is palpable? I'm not going to say zero because I don't know that to be true. It's probably not without precedent. You want to leave the door a little open, but I'm going to guess the number's pretty low. Vientos is a stud. Not worried about him. Now, you want to tell me you don't love the idea, and I've said this, you don't love the idea of now having him learn a new position while he's dealing with some adjustments that the league's making to him? Okay. I can get behind that thought. That's a sensible baseball thought. Vientos is going to rake. That man's a hitter. That young man is a hitter. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.